So in terms of prophecy, as far as who's operating the gift, and when we say that, we're talking about either the enemy's operating the gift or God's at the helm. And the way we know, the simplest way we know, and this becomes like your compass, is if we are coming from grace in the prophecy that we have been given, then we know God is operating our gift. If we're coming from condemnation or judgment, then we know the enemy has a hold of it. And that's the simplest way for us to determine that. And we don't have to, you know, we don't have to stress out or try, you know, figure it out or be fretting, because that's all we have to do. Is it grace? Oh, good. God's got a hold of my gift. And that's any gift. That's not just prophecy, but prophecy being so powerful because it affects such a deep part of a person. It's not just the healing of a physical part of your body. It's your very soul being spoken to. If God says through Paul that prophecy reveals the secret of a man's heart, that's the deepest part of a person. That's why the gift is so potent. And that's why it's also the greatest gift in terms of spiritual gifts that we can be given. And that's why it's potentially so dangerous, and why so many people have been horribly abused and hurt by the misuse of that gift. Because those people that misused it were letting the devil operate their gift rather than God and his grace. So if, for instance, you know, have a dream and you see somebody in a difficult situation, or you see death on them, or you see sickness of any kind, or any tragedy coming their way, you don't make the assumption that they've done something wrong and God is punishing them, which is often the way prophets, especially prophets, quote-unquote prophets to the nations, that's what they prophesy, death and destruction. And because they will come true, everyone says, oh my goodness, this must be from God. And what really has happened is they saw what the devil was doing. They did not use their gift of seeing, prophecy, to stop what the devil was doing, and instead they used it to condemn and allow the devil to have his way and wreak havoc. That is utter evil. That is not what we're to do with these gifts. And God makes it very clear through Paul in Corinthians 14, you know, 1:14, is that that gift is to exhort, to edify, and to comfort. Well, obviously you're not operating prophetically in God's purpose, through God's purpose, if you are condemning and judging. That is not what he says prophecy is for. So they need to read the New Testament, because they have missed it completely. I mean, God is love. Let's just get down to brass tacks. That's as simple as it is. He's one word, love. Love does not seek to destroy, kill, maim, and cause tragedy, and steal. That's the enemy's name. So what's the worst part of the prophets that are going around and prophesying doom and gloom is that they are attributing to God the Father, who is love, Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who is love. They are attributing to him the devil's works. And that is an abomination to God. So when you're misusing your gift like that, you better be thankful that God is a God of grace, because I would be watching out otherwise. That you will be forgiven for misusing your gift. But that doesn't mean you're not harming people and you're not responsible. We still are responsible for what we do. But God does forgive us, and he does pour out his grace. Well, like we said, in the presence of sin, his abounding grace just increases. And one day it will break these people, especially if those of us that see it happening pray. We don't just sit there and let people, you know, proclaim doom and gloom. And the best part, one of the easiest ways to stop doom and gloom from occurring, the easiest prayer you can do, is to say, thank you, Lord, that what the enemy means for evil, you mean for good, and I loose your goodness in this situation in Jesus' name. It is fail-safe. Because his goodness will just absolutely take over, because you're declaring that truth. And instead of the enemy getting the upper hand in those situations, you've unleashed and loosed the power of the living God, who is only good, into that situation. And that's a way to pray prophetically. That's what he asks us to do. He asks us to be responsible for how we pray. not just blurt out anything that comes to mind and say, oh, I had a vision of Elijah and, you know, Moses, and they were telling me the world is coming to an end, and these horrible things are going to happen to this nation and that nation. And then the person sees all these horrible things happening, and the world sees all these horrible things happening, or Christians do, and go, see, he's really a prophet of God. No, he's a prophet of hell. That is a prophet of hell. Speaking those things over a nation is a prophet of hell, because life and death is in our tongue. With the same tongue that we bless God, we curse man. That's a prophet of hell. We're not to have that mixing in our tongue. It says, how can you have pure spring water and bitterness come out of the same source? We're not to. And if we have a problem with it, if we're struggling with that, or if we're perhaps, you know, people who prophesy in that way, perhaps they had a very harsh upbringing, and what they know is judgment and condemnation. So that's where they live. That's their reality. That's their framework. That's the lens they see out of. So they read the Bible and they go, law, 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 in trouble, in trouble, in trouble, judgment, 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 condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. You can read the same scripture from Law and Grace and have a completely different outcome. And not see it through the eyes of law. And we need to ask him to show us. Have me see your word through the eyes of grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. And if we are given a gift of prophecy, then we have to say, have me see these prophetic words, these prophetic visions that you're giving me through the eyes of grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. So that we make sure we're clean in what comes out of our mouths. Because the truth is, when you look at prophets that are doomsayers, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So where is that doom? Where is that judgment? Where is that condemnation coming from? Their hearts, not the Father's heart. They're attributing their own hearts to the Father's heart. The Father's heart is filled with love towards us, towards all of humanity. Jesus is that evidence. And the cross is that evidence. So we're not making this up to sound like nicey cute Christianity. That the Father said it. He did it. I'm just agreeing with him. He's love. He sent Jesus not to condemn us, but to save us. So now why are people later, after the cross, condemning humanity? That again goes back to, I'm denying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's what that means, false prophets. That's what it's talking about. Obviously, Jesus didn't do enough. God has to punish you now. Pretty serious, really. And I mean, those that are doing that should be incredibly grateful that he is merciful and a God of grace. Because at one point, they're going to have to face it. And if they're believers, they're still in him. And they went down the wrong, you know, they got detoured and they went down the wrong path. And hopefully, I mean, we can pray for those people, but they don't continue on that to the rest of their days, because there's a lot of damage that can be done. And then those of us that understand his grace and his love have to undo it. And he sends people out to undo it. He does send them out to undo it. And which does mean some people who are called to be prophets are going to get a lot of flack for it. They're not going to get flacked for condemning, because everybody seems to just sit there in their chairs. You'll see them. You'll watch these videos or whatever, and they'll just sit in their chairs, absolutely stationary, like, you know, kind of like with these faces on their, you know, not that they really want to sit there and listen, because, you know, you're kind of squirming on the inside, but, okay, he's a prophet of God, and he said this is what God said about us. Okay, oh my gosh, this is worse than I thought. That's how they sit there. They're not rejoicing in God. They're not singing praises to the Lord. They're not praising him for their freedom that Christ brought. They're hiding. They're sitting like condemned children who are going to go to the principal's office, and you know what happens there, the cane. That's how they're sitting. This is the God they're portraying. It is not our God. It is not the Father in heaven. It is not him. And like I said, that's why as a prophet, we need to, if we're going to be given that gift, we need to actually go to him and make sure that our hearts are clean. Because what comes out of our mouth is from the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. We have to know. It's like, well, clean my heart, Lord, because I do not want to misjudge anything. I do not want to say things that are out of turn, that are not in your character, that are not what you're telling people. And I don't want to misinterpret any visions or words that you give me. That doesn't mean we have to be frightened. Holy Spirit lives in us. So we say, Holy Spirit, okay, you gave me the gift of prophecy. Obviously, you knew what you were doing. I trust you. Now you lead it, and you take over that gift. That's all you do in Jesus' name. That's it. Then you've given him permission, and he takes care of it. And the rest is up to him. The rest is up to me. He'll guide you. It's only when people actually think they're in charge of their own gift that there's a problem. That's when it's very that's when it's.
I saw a prophet on TV, and he was gloom and doom.
Yeah, hang on, Gwen. The easiest answer to the doom and gloomers really is two things. One, Jesus Christ came in the flesh to reconcile all mankind to God. Then you've got that we are, when we stop believing in grace is when we have fallen from it, not when we make a mistake. It does not say that. It says that we fell from grace when we start to think we are under the law again and we have to perform. We fall from grace by not believing in grace. That's how we fall from grace. They've turned it around into you fall from grace by breaking the law. No, that's not what it says. Complete that now. I'm gonna put that on there. Okay, I don't have my Bible's outside and it's way under the mulberry tree. So in Galatians 5:4, when it says that we're estranged from Christ, when we try to be justified by the law again, that's when we fall from grace. We don't fall from grace by breaking the law. We fall from grace by trying to be justified by it. So that it totally counters that use of prophecy as a doom and gloom and condemnation. It does not make sense. It is not God's use of prophecy, let alone it says that prophecy is supposed to edify, comfort, and exhort. That's its purpose. And it's considered the greatest gift because it does that, and it also reveals the secrets of a man's heart. And what they would, how people who are still under the law, in their own minds, not in Christ. In Christ, they're not under the law. The doom and gloom prophets are not under the law. They're in Christ, but in their minds, they're under the law. And then that's what they preach. Because they've never forgiven themselves, or they don't really believe God could forgive them for what they've done. So what comes out of their mouth, the abundance of the heart comes out of their mouths, of what's really there. And it's not God's heart, it's their heart. And he makes it very clear what prophecy's for. And he also says that you can never be justified by the law, or he wouldn't have sent Jesus. I mean, it's such simple Christianity. It's like, when are people actually going to get past the milk and chew on a bit of meat? Instead of reiterating, and misusing what the Word of God, and then saying, well, but the Word of God is infallible, and the Word of God, you know, you can only trust the Word of God, and then they don't have the Holy Spirit at the helm of their lives, the Spirit of Truth, who's going to lead them into all truth and teach them concerning all things. He's not running the show, so they interpret it from their own flesh. They interpret the Word from their own flesh, and they call it, see, the Word, you can only depend on the Word. Which Word? The Word you interpreted, or the Word Holy Spirit interpreted? There's a difference. People sometimes think they're prophets, and they're not. They actually think that they are prophets, but they're not prophets. Because if you are not given the gift by him, you are not a prophet. Because he gives the spiritual gifts to whom he wills. Not to whom demands it, not to who proclaims it, not to whom advertises it, but to whom he wills. So if we have to make be very clear. If we have a tendency, okay, if we already have the tendency for dreams and visions, pictures when we're, say, we're ministering with people or maybe just having dinner and we go, oh my goodness, there's another picture about this person and I wonder what it means. You know, there's usually, that usually means you have a prophetic tendency anyway, a prophetic gifting of some sort. It doesn't mean necessarily you're a prophet, which is different because people can prophesy that don't have the gift of prophecy per se as a calling. You know, I mean, he used a donkey. You know, you can use whatever's around. You know, he uses unbelievers for believers that are absolutely, you know, on detour land and should be going in the opposite direction. He will use a believer, an unbeliever, to say something that will slap that person in the face. And so it isn't that, or that might even speak a prophecy over them. You know, it isn't that if any time, oh, I had a prophecy once. I said this da-da-da to somebody in the airport, you know, in 1989. I must be a prophet. You know, you don't, and I'm going to call myself a prophet, and I'm going to study it, and I'm going to get taught about it, and I'm going to learn all about it, and I'm going to write books about it. I'm going to do that course for $500 about it, and then I'll be a prophet. No, you won't. He calls. People have to get this. He is the one. Holy Spirit calls. And he gives out to whom he wants to. And that's why the Father's so clever. He calls, he gives to the foolish things, the things that confound the wise. So the ones who think, I'm the prophet, I have this gifting, this is what I've done, and these are my credentials because I went to the prophet school, and because people listen to me and thousands throng in front of me, so obviously I'm favored of God. Really? Well, a rock star can get thousands of people in front of them and have them listen to him too. That doesn't mean they're favorite of God. That means they're popular. It's a completely different thing. So we have to really, you know, give honor where honor is due. Holy Spirit is to be honored as the one, the person of God who gives those gifts. And we have to stop playing games in the human realm and deciding on who has it by what we say. Oh, because so-and-so imparted it to me. Really? Did he? Was Holy Spirit there? Because I don't know so-and-so, but I know Holy Spirit. We really need to do that because sometimes what people are imparting is not what we think it is. And I think if we're going to go anywhere to have something quote unquote imparted, which has become a really big, you know, kind of crazy, another one of those things that we chase, that people chase in conferences, or I've got to go see so-and-so because I know he imparts the gift of healing or he imparts the gift of prophecy or whatever it is. We better make sure we have Holy Spirit in the forefront and at the helm when we go there, and that we only receive what he wants us to receive, and rather than chasing it. You know, it's like chasing the sun, you know, chasing sunsets or you know, it's chasing after the gift. He doesn't say to chase the gift. He says to desire it. Pretty easy. You can be in your bed. Jeez, Holy Ghost, I so want the gift of healing because so many of my relatives are so hurt and I know you heal and I don't know how to do it and please help me. Wow. There you go. You got that gift now. Desire the gifts, not pursue them. Run over to every conference, you know, that in creation to find so-and-so. Oh, if I go to this one, I'll finally get it. That's not how it works. We desire it. And then he fulfills it. He fulfills the desires. Doesn't he fulfill the desires of our hearts? Isn't that what he says he'll do? But we have a desire, and he says, I fulfill it. Delight in me, he says. So don't be chasing the person, a human being across the country or across the world to try to get something. Delight in me. Be with me. Hang out with me. Let's do lunch. Let's talk. Let's have a chat. Let me fill you with my presence. Let me renew you and refresh you. You're tired. I see it. You're haggard in your eyes. I made those eyes. I know what they're supposed to look like. They're supposed to sparkle. Be with me. Delight in me. I'll give you those desires. You don't have to run after there and pay $500 for them. I give them free. That's what he wants to do. So if we want, you know, if someone wants the gift of prophecy, there is nothing wrong with having that desire, because it is the best gift, and because it has such power, and because it actually offers to people this, it awakens in them their call. Now that is a great gift to have. Who doesn't want to do that? That is exciting. That is so exciting. So we desire it, and we tell him, Holy Spirit, this gift of prophecy, I've seen it. I've seen other people flow in it. And I have had people speak over me, and oh, what a change it was for my life. And it turned my life around. And I want to be able to do that for people. That's the desire. He fulfills it. We don't make it happen, and we don't, you know, have to go to a thousand different people to be trained in it. He'll teach you. If he's the teacher and he's supposed to teach us about all things, don't you think he's going to teach us about prophecy too? And how that one works? He's the teacher. He's the teacher. And any teacher worth their salt will give you whatever they have, you know, that small part that they might have in the body, and say, go to him. First of all, make sure it's confirmed in him. And then they will say, that's all I've got. You get the rest from him. That's what I've learned. You can have it. Here, I give it to you freely, because, you know, you gave it to me freely. So if it helps, great. If it doesn't, throw it out. I'm not precious about it. Tomorrow, I'll believe something else about that gift, because I didn't understand it as good as I do, you know, in the future. Today, I see this. Tomorrow, he's going to show me something else, and he's going to do the same for you. So, you know, you don't have to, it's not bated breath on everything, you know, one particular person says. He's just teaching. And when we have a gift, we always have to yield it to him. Every gift, if he gives you the gift of teaching, if he gives you the gift of prophecy, if he gives you the gift of healing, it's always your, okay, it's your gift. You take over it now. You gave it to me, and I am more than grateful, and I'm honored, and I'm humbled, and now I let you take over the gift. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And that's it. And then he directs it. And then you won't get into trouble with it. You just won't. Because he's at the helm, and he's going to tell you. And if you're offline, he's going to go, excuse me, what did I say about that? Oh, yes, he said not to say it like that because, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, phew, how many have to do that again? That was pretty silly. You know, that's what he'll do. He'll correct us as we go. But because we gave him permission to be at the forefront and at the helm of that gift, he will. He'll be going, excuse me, what? Come here. Remember when I told you? Oh, that's right. He doesn't, you know, it's not like he's going to smack us across the head, bleeding. He's just going to go, don't you remember? You know, like a good parent does. Remember I told you not to go to that, behind that shed. I told you, why did I tell you? Because there's snakes there sometimes. Did you go behind the shed? Yes, I did. What did I tell you? You know, he'll remind you. Don't do that. And there are snakes behind the shed in the gifts. There is snakes waiting, and, you know, he's called Satan. And he sends his little minions going, oh, that one's really gifted in prophecy, or that one's really gifted in healing. Okay, what can we do to derail it? All right, I know. I'm going to send my minions to give this one. Okay, that one has a real pride issue. Okay, let's attack their pride. All right, that'll really help. Oh, that one really feels condemned. They don't even feel they ever were forgiven, so we'll really push that. That's what he does. He looks at our weaknesses, and he attacks it. For everything we've got, you know, it's a go for the jugular. That's how Satan plays, dirty. Always go for the jugular. So where any area that we might have a weakness in, he's going to go for that. So if you tend to be a workaholic, he's going to try to exhaust. If he knows, okay, I can't get that person to stop helping people, I hate them, I'm just going to exhaust them. I'll work on that. I'll make them feel bad if they don't take the next person. Whatever your weakness is, he knows how to misuse weakness. That's for sure. I mean, look at the garden. Started there, you know, and he uses the same tactics now, you know, deceit, condemnation. First he uses deceit to get you trapped, and then condemnation after he trapped you. You know, that's how it works. You shouldn't have. Yeah, but you told me. You shouldn't have. You know, it doesn't matter. And we are responsible. But see, the best part is we have Holy Spirit there going, okay, you know, I mean, here it is, the Good Shepherd living in us. And the Good Shepherd always goes before, and he checks. Oh, is this a cliff over here? Or is that a big hole, a bog? Oh, you're going to get bogged over there. Oh, there's some thistles. No, 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 I don't want you to go in that area. He does it beforehand. He goes before us. That's how we use our gift. He goes before us in that gift. We don't go rushing out there and then fall and get bogged into the into the quicksand or are stuck in the briars. He goes before, and we go, is that okay? Is that where I go? Oh, you said it. Oh, good. Okay, it's okay. I can go there. You know, and he doesn't do it in the sense that he's telling you every move. You know, it's not like he's hyper vigilant with us. He flows in you. If you are yielding to him, he is leading you. And you don't worry about every word you say because he's leading your mouth. Because you gave it to him. I'm your mouthpiece. Speak whatever you want to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but you do. Go ahead and take over. That's how you know. It's not like we're not on tender hooks every 5 seconds. Oh, did I say the right thing? Was that really? Am I really supposed to touch that person? Am I supposed to talk to them? We're not doing that. We don't want to be like that because there's no freedom in it. So we're doing it from the place that we're one with him. And all I did is give him permission. Okay, you take over. You're in the lead. I'm following. You know, because we're supposed to hear our master's voice. I mean, the master lives in us now. So we hear his voice. And we follow him. So if we are letting him, you know, if we're following him and we're letting him lead, because it really is a let him lead. It's yielding. It's submitting. It's letting him lead. Submission is voluntary. That's what submission is. It's not just yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full. It's voluntary. We submit, which means to yield, to let him. So if we're letting him lead, then when we are prophesying over someone, it means that when we seeing something in their future, he's giving us a download, so to speak, or a vision of their future, because he's leading, we know we can trust it. And we can tell them. If we see something like a prophetic dream where you're woken up in the middle of the night and it's, you know, disaster looming in somebody's life, that means that we're to pray to stop it. Because that's not what he wants for their future. Because once we know the character of God, we will know how to pray prophetically. If you know the character of God, that he's love, that he gave his only begotten son, that he is for us, not against us, well, you will always know that. Obviously, he doesn't want that person to have a car accident on the 5th of June. That is not his desire. I don't have to question him. I don't have to go, well, should I let it happen because maybe it's going to teach them a lesson? No, it's not from him. It's the devil coming after that person who may be away from God, who may be, you know, never known him, who may be going their own way, but that's not what God wants, because why would he give Jesus? I mean, we just have to look back to the cross. It is so, Christianity is so simple. Look back to the cross. What did the cross do? The cross redeemed humanity and reconciled all of humanity to God. So he wants to kill the person on June 5th in a car accident? What? What happened to the cross? The cross overcame all disease, overcame all trauma, overcame all sorrow, overcame all grief, overcame all pain. So, and he's going to give it to them? No, it doesn't work. So we know that. It's pretty simple. Again, but it goes back to grace or condemnation or grace or judgment. Let's put it that way. If you have a dream like that, you know that this is not God judging that person, because you know he's a God of grace and he's poured out his grace. That's the period we live in. We live in grace. And he wants them to come to him. That's why we think it's a long time before he comes. And he says, no, it really isn't. It appears long to you, but I want none to perish. I want to give as many chances as possible. Not as humanly possible, as supernaturally as possible. I want to give them all the chances. I think God, you know, in his heart of hearts, would never want it to end, because he just keep wanting people to come. Keep wanting people to come to him. Keep wanting people to come to him. But it has to end at a certain time. And Jesus has to come back. But imagine the Father's devastation on that day of those that didn't come. He is not rejoicing. And that should be the prophet's heart. The prophet's heart, we should be praying or prophesying over people to bring them into closer unity with God. That's exhortation, that's comfort, and that's edification. that brings them into closer unity with Him. That's how we should pre-prophesy. And when we do, and it comes forth out of us, we don't have to go, oh, am I prophesying edification? It just pours out. You couldn't stop it if you tried. You cannot stop it. It is living waters pouring out of your mouth, and it just won't stop. And then when you're done, it stops. And then you say to the person when you're done, and they're fainting on the floor, or they're going, shaking their head and going, I can't believe it, I can't believe it. And you're going, does that confirm what God's been showing you? And they go, they open their mouths wide in absolute awe of what God's just said to them. Yeah, just said to them. You mean He really does feel that way towards me? You mean all those desires I had and all that, those things about music and the things that, the plans I had, He wasn't against them? He planned that? Oh, He really is a good God. That's what they're going to say. Not that he gave him some desire that never gets fulfilled. He doesn't do that. He doesn't act like that. That is not our God at all. If there's a passion, that's why He does want you to look at your passions. And people say, oh, well, that's wrong because you're going to lay down your life. Yeah, you do lay down my passion is that He will change your heart anyway. And your passions that He's grown in us, and you will want to apply them to the kingdom. So it still gets used for Him. Just because it may not look like something to you. If somebody loves flower arranging, you think He can't use that for the kingdom? Come on. Person that just lost their husband down the road, and you make it the exact colors, the exact type of flowers that they love, that their husband used to give them. And you bring it, and you don't know them at all, and you don't know about them, and you don't know the color that they love, and you don't know those flowers, but you just know, you heard in the neighborhood, oh, they just lost their husband. Okay, oh, Lord, help me to help them. What should I do? And He puts that on your heart. Give them a flower arrangement, because you're amazing at that, and I gave you that ability to make art out of flowers. And you do it, and you knock on their door, and they just break down. Because that's exactly what they used to have from their husband. And He's saying, I'm with you. I haven't forgotten you. And that can turn a person's life around right then and there. And they may even come to salvation. Because you're going to be there with those flowers saying, God that I love and that loves you told me to make these flowers. And they're crying, gushing, their eyes crying, going, the funeral was 3 days ago, and that's what my husband used to always bring to me. When we had a fight. And then, so it's like God saying, I know you're mad at me. I'm bringing you flowers. Amazing, isn't it? That's how He can use any of our passions. That's the kindness of Him. And someone out there is going to do that. I don't know who does that, but I could feel that. That was almost like a prophetic thing that I was seeing right then and there. I don't know who does flower arranging, but somewhere in the world, Lord, you've got that one covered. So I know I don't do it. But the funny thing is, even if somebody wasn't great at that, He will still tell you in that moment. He still can use it. He can still communicate to us and say, so-and-so down the street just lost, their husband and da-da-da, you can do this. I'm not saying it has to be that you have this gift. But what I am saying is that whatever gift He gives us, and not just spiritual gifts, passions, abilities, natural abilities, He will, I don't like using the word use because it sounds like, we're working for Him. We're not working for Him. We belong to Him. We're not working for Him. And if I'm about my father's business, it's because I love my daddy. I want to do daddy's business. It's like being in the family business and you love it. I want to go to work. It's not I'm working for him to get my salary, to earn my keep, because otherwise daddy's going to kick me out. It's not like that. This is what I want to do. This is what I love doing. And I didn't know that I loved doing it until he gave it to me to do. And sometimes that's how our gift will be. It's not until you start that you realize you love it. We just have to trust him. If he tells you to do it, then do it. And he will do the growing on the inside. So with back to prophecy, this really is the focus on prophecy, is that our heart will determine how we prophesy if we don't give it to him. So if our heart is messed up in a certain area, and we decide we're prophets because we have visions and dreams and whatever, and someone prophesied over us that we were a prophet or whatever, and then we are the ones who are manipulating that gift or operating the gift, or and then we're going to have Satan do it because he loves the flesh and he'll take over. We're actually putting ourselves in a really precarious position. And what we need to do instead is say, okay, you're in the lead. You take over this gift so that the Father's heart is how I prophesy from. I should be prophesying from the heart of the Father. Not from any misgivings I have, or not from any damage that, you know, hasn't been healed yet or whatever. We don't want to do that. Because people get called. It doesn't mean everything's all finished in their lives. They would be called, and maybe they had 3 divorces and they're really messed up. And they're still called by God. But if they're going to Him, number one, if they have a close relationship with Holy Spirit, which I think is absolutely imperative for any gift, but in particular for prophecy. Because prophecy can probably do more damage than any other gift to a person or to a nation. It can absolutely destroy people. So if we want to make sure that it's always His heart speaking. And we don't have to freak out about it. We just give it to Him. Okay, this is your gift now. You just work it through me, or flow it through me, Lord, when you want to. Not when I want to, because I've got to do a party trick and I've got some dinner guests over and let me prophesy over you. Whoa, oh, ooh, 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 ooh. I'd be pulling my paws back real quick because I think you're going to get smacked. We don't use it like that, you know, because there's no power in that anyway. And you might be able to see something that's going on with them, but so can clairvoyance. Does that make them prophets of God? No. Do you know what I mean? Just like healing. You can do healing without God. There are many methods of healing without Him, without ever acknowledging Jesus Christ. And there's many methods of, you know, clairvoyance and looking into the, you know, psychics and stuff. You can be trained for that. That's why I think it's really dangerous when we set it up as a training ground, something that we train. Why wouldn't we go to Holy Spirit, who's the teacher and the Spirit of truth and who teaches us concerning all things and leads us into all truth? Why wouldn't we go to Him to teach me about the gift that He gave me? He gave me the gift. Don't you think He knows about the gift better than anyone? I mean, He's the source of the gift. Kind of like you go to the manufacturer, don't you, when you get something? Oh, I don't know how this thing works. How does this work? This is a part of what part of the car? Okay, I'm going back to Chevrolet. Okay, guys, tell me, what's this part? What am I supposed to do with it? Oh, okay, this is the valve, and this valve goes up and down, and then it'll trigger this thing. He'll tell you how it works, and He's not going to do it like that. He's not going to do it mechanically. This is what's so beautiful about Holy Ghost. He gives you the gift of prophecy, and then He just flows out of you. That's it. You don't figure it out. You don't figure it out. You don't go, which part is this? What do I do with that? When do I prophesy? When do I not? How do I know it's this? None of it. He gives you the gift. So if it's genuinely from Him, there is no figuring out. Why would you need to figure it out? You know, that's like trying to figure out salvation. Good luck. Have a fun time going crazy. You don't have to figure out the gift. He gives you the gift and He just flows through you with it. That's the end of it. And then you learn. You learn on the job. You learn as you Okay, so somebody comes to you and for whatever reason, maybe they come for a healing. But you're seeing all this other stuff going on. You're going, oh my goodness, this person has this amazing gift of mercy. And they're always giving out to people. And God's just saying that wow. And they've always wanted to be a nurse, but they never thought they were good enough. And you start saying this stuff to them, and they're crying because you don't know them. And they came for a healing. Well, yeah, you're going to pray for their healing as well. It's not like you just leave them there. But, hey, they got a bonus. They've got a prophecy that confirms what they've always wanted. That's what it'll do. It'll confirm who He made them to be. And then you know it's Him. You always ask for the confirmation. Is this confirmed in you? Does this make sense to you? And they will tell you. And, you know, if it doesn't, well, then you can say, oh, I'm, you know, I don't ever look at it like, oh, I got it wrong. It's not, When you know when he really gives you the gift and he just flows out of you, you don't get it wrong. You just don't get it wrong because it's not you. How is he? What, Holy Ghost is going to be wrong? When was that time? That one time he made a mistake. When was that? Never. He doesn't make mistakes. He just doesn't make mistakes. So
absolutely.
So if he gives you the gift. And he just flow. Then he's just going to flow out of you. He's not going to make a mistake. You don't. And you're checking. The reason you're checking is mostly, like I said before, mostly for them, so that they actually get it confirmed and realize, oh my gosh, so you were talking to me all that time and I didn't know. The other reason is that it also humbles you, because if you're asking for them confirmation, you're not acting. Now see, I was the prophet. See what I just said? You're not doing that. You're saying, does that make sense to you? Is that confirming what God's been telling you? And then they don't feel like you're, overlording it. You're just sharing it. Okay, this is what God said to me. Holy Spirit's telling me this. Does that make sense? And they, they'll carry on and discuss it with you.
Wow.
So that's it. So you really don't have to figure it out. So although we're saying you go back to the manufacturer, he is not going to give us, the details in that. He's not going to tell you beforehand. Tough luck. You're just going to have to go with it. You will learn about prophecy after the fact, after you prophesy, because that's how he works. You will learn about healing after you do healing. You don't do it before. You're not going to, you can take a million courses in healing and learn what somebody else did for 30 years and somebody else did for 10 years and somebody else did for 20 years. It's not the same as doing it. Completely different. You'll learn his presence. You'll learn how he flows. You'll learn the sense of him. When all of a sudden something starts bubbling out of you, when you're in somebody's presence, whether they're physical or whether they're online or in whatever capacity, and you're just going, okay, hang on, da 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 da, and say if you're typing, and say it's a chat one or a Skype one or whatever, and you're typing, and you're just writing out, this is what he's saying, da 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 da, and they're opening up and they're opening up and they're opening up and they're getting free. And that's what you want to see. That's also your evidence. But we're not looking to it as, we're trying to figure it out, evidence. It's just, we want to be confirmed too. At the beginning, people usually are fairly insecure about it. But we don't need to be. Because if he gave you the gift, it's yours. He expects it to be used. But he doesn't expect it to be used by your standards, but by his. He wants you to go to him with it and say, it's your gift. You gave it to me. I'm giving it back to you. You do whatever you want with it through me. I'm happy. As long as I'm following you, I'm happy. And that's how we do it. So one of the pitfalls of prophecy is that the title can come before Holy Spirit. And it's very important that people don't get caught up in the title of I'm a prophet, therefore whatever I say is, a word from God, or whatever I say must come to pass, or I have to say something, so if I'm not getting anything, it must be that I'm just going to stir it up. No. The title, the gift, it's almost more the title, because that's where the human element twisted is the title. Oh, prophet, you're a prophet. There's a really big, healer. Okay, people say, oh, you're a healer. Oh, you do healing. They don't go, you're a healer. They don't do that. But with prophecy, oh, you're a prophet. Like it's almost like, oh, you can see into my future. I hope it's good. Oh, please don't tell me. Or tell me. And they want to chase prophets around. So we have to make very sure that doesn't come before, the title does not become before the will of Holy Spirit in terms of how it's used. It's really important. Don't put the gift before the Holy Spirit. Don't put the title before Holy Spirit. Never. It's one of the worst pitfalls of prophecy. And there's so many people that fall into it. They get so caught up in their own egos about it. I'm a prophet. It's better not to want it. Okay, it's okay to desire it. Desire it and ask him for it. But it's better not to even want it. And then he gives it to you anyway than to be chasing after it. Because the character of a person...
I'm yielding, but I'm not chasing after it.
No, the character of a person who chases after prophecy or any of the gifts is an immature character, which means the gifts are going to be more important than him. And it's really not the way we want to be operating. We don't want to operate from that place of the title meaning more than him. Because that's what happens. It gets replaced. You know, it's like you can idolize it to become an idol of itself. So it doesn't matter whether, you know, this time is it a word of knowledge, or this time it's a prophecy, or this time it's a word of wisdom. It doesn't matter. I just yielded. You want to give me word of knowledge? You don't want to give me word of knowledge today? That's fine, Lord. You want to give me prophecy for this person because they desperately need it, and it's their ripe. They're ripe. See, he gives prophecy when a person's ripe. They're ripe from the tree. You know, like they might have been going over an issue or their future for a while and having these dreams and hoping this, but thinking, oh, it's never going to happen. And he brings them into your life and brings you into their life, and you get to speak, and you're speaking his life into their very being. That's what prophecy does. That's why it's so powerful. It speaks life. It's supposed to speak life. If it's speaking death, it's not prophecy. And the prophecy is from hell. And they've given themselves over. They might actually have a gift of prophecy, and they've gone over to the dark side, so to speak, and they're letting it be used by the Sith Lord called Satan. Really?
Oh, okay.